It's another Sunday night watching the superstars fight. You know it's what we love to do. Talking about NXT or WWE, and we can't forget about AEW.
Viewer's choice
on the North South Con.
Viewer's choice
on the North South Con.
Viewer's choice
on the North South Connection.
It is the war calendar end of 2024. Or 2023-2024 season of WWE programming. And that means that back in the saddle once again is the co-host of WWE War here on the North-South Connection, Mr. Marcus. Marcus, how are you?
I'm good, man. Sounds of Freedom. Running wild and free in the background. But I'm good, man. Took the day off work. Catching up on sleep because I'm an old man. But it's WrestleMania, baby. And of course, we'll talk about. Thanks to you. Had a wonderful WrestleMania Sunday as we went to night two live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But we're here to break down both nights. We watched night one together in person on television, exclusively on Peacock. And then night two, we were there live and in living color. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm recovering. My legs are sore from a lot of walking. As a man of my size and stature, I don't walk a lot or much. That's a problem on me and not anybody else. But I want to give a big shout out, not just to those of you listening who may have watched WrestleMania live and in person like us and a lot of other no-sewers, but also the whole weekend is mind-blowing. It especially being there Sunday, fantastic. Getting to hang out with everybody in the no-so. If you, the listening audience, don't have a group of friends like the no-so, get one. So much fun hanging out, tailgating, and then going in for the big show on Sunday. It capped off what was a very fun watch for us at home for night one.
Absolutely, man. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22 and I'm finna get into WrestleMania night one.
Yes, WrestleMania.
Let people know
Saturday.
That's right, WrestleMania Saturday. In case this is your first time listening, welcome to Viewer's Choice. This is where myself, that's me, Marcus, and Tim Taylor, our wonderful host, we break down what was good, what was bad, what was must watch, what was must skip. We watch the shows so you don't have to, or if you're just checking in to hear our thoughts, we appreciate that as well. So just because something doesn't get mentioned doesn't mean that it was inherently bad. Just means that, hey, running short on time, it might have been good, might have been very good. But, you know, if nothing happened, if we don't feel like it was necessarily essential, we're probably going to gloss over it. So that's kind of how we break things down here on Viewer's Choice. Again, this is a bigger episode as we have two nights of action to cover. So we'll break down night one first and then we'll get into night two.
That's right. And for me, it's very easy to start with a must watch. It is the opener of night one, WrestleMania Saturday. Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch. There's not much you can say that hasn't been said about Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. Going back to the Charlotte match and the Asuka match and then the other Charlotte match, Rhea has put together a body of work at WrestleMania in singles action that makes anything she do kind of an automatic must watch. And then you tack on a person with the history of Becky. The match was very, very good. It's on a short list. Oddly enough, there's not that many, at least to my knowledge, really solid openers in WrestleMania history. Like, I can think of maybe five off my hand about it. You can put that on the list for sure.
Yeah, this match was kind of the perfect match, I think, to open the festivities of WrestleMania. Again, live from Financial Field. It was hard hitting. It was a little grimy, a little rough house. But it was also a really good match, technically speaking. Yeah, Rhea Ripley, she is entering rarefied air when it comes to WrestleMania performances, the way she carries herself at the shows. She's really standing out. And this one was, you know, never a doubt, but the action was really good. And it was cool to see Becky. This kind of felt like maybe a natural closing to a full-time, I guess, you know, a full-time schedule for Becky. That remains to be seen. But if that's where we end up, I think this was a great way to get there. And I would definitely give this the must-watch stamp of approval.
Yeah, I mean, kind of what you were mentioning to Rhea Ripley on the night one press conference had mentioned, kind of like, this is two of the three horsewomen, or two of the three active in WWE that Rhea's taken down at the show of shows, WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So, definitely a lot of talk of new eras. Maybe there's one in the women's Eva Revolution, for anything like that. So, what about you? What for night one stood out as not meeting your expectations or exceeding them?
I'm going to go ahead and give a must skip, actually to the ladder match. I was not impressed. And ladder matches are dangerous. Understand the inherent nature of danger ladder matches present. Having both belts there, have a natural separation of the Undisputed Tag Team titles so that they can go back to respective brands. I thought that was done well. But as an actual match, I'm not, you know, I think you could definitely just skip over it. Don't even think it's maybe even worth having on just in the background if it's playing. I found it to be completely skippable. Again, not bad. But I never felt like Austin Theory was going to go from beating John Cena at WrestleMania to being a thrown in tag team and a 6-team ladder match and not pull down one of those sets of titles. So I felt like that was a foregone conclusion. And the only real question left was, were you going to get a feel good moment with Miz and R-Truth?
Right. You know, looking back at it, it was a pretty, to turn a phrase from one of our favorite parts of points of media, it felt very stock. this gave you everything that you expect out of the box if you are buying WWE ladder match from your big box store. This had all the essential parts for a big time WWE ladder match, right? Just nothing extra, no bells and whistles. And if you're a ladder match freak, add this to your list, right? One of my biggest problems with the match was, because they split the titles, whichever title came down first, that title becomes the afterthought, right?
Yeah.
We're so triggered. Like, even think back to like the pandemic, right? You have Money in the Bank, but you have both Money in the Bank contracts up at the air at the same time. And like, Asuka gets the last one. And thankfully, Otis makes you remember he got the first one. Kind of the same here. By the time I was done watching this match, I legitimately had to ask myself out loud, who won the SmackDown titles? Because I had already shifted my focus to what was still going on, which was the ladder match. Either way, I just wish the SmackDown tag titles might have been remembered a little bit better. Maybe pulling both sets of titles down at the same time to get one pop as opposed to splitting it or however. But yeah, I can absolutely see when you look at this roster of talent, like that's in this ladder match, you should probably expect more than you got.
Yeah, and that's just where I landed. I got another must skip while we're kind of in the dirt a little bit. I'm going to give a must skip. We'll see if you're on board as well. I thought Jimmy and Jey Uso.
What do we like to say about some of this stuff? It's stinky. This is stinky.
Not sure what they were going for. Maybe it would have played better in a more intimate setting.
Way to say not WrestleMania. I know what you're saying without you saying it.
Maybe the problem's me, but I just missed whatever this match was supposed to be. And maybe again, it's the weird thing of like, people don't really want to see brothers fight. I don't know. Like, I think why Bret and Owen worked so well is because they didn't reach the point of like no return at WrestleMania 10. I think you get to WrestleMania 25 and like Matt Hardy had like lit his brother on fire and like planted drugs or whatever in the car and like had done all this, killed his dog, like done all this awful stuff. It's like, oh man. And then you get like Jimmy and Jey and like costing each other like title matches and run-ins galore and super kicks and beat downs. Like,
but even then, all of those attacks are one-sided. It's Jimmy poking at Jey. Jey's just out here trying to live his best life free of all the bloodline drama. And then his big brother keeps coming and saying, hey, you know you missed this. And he's just trying to lure him back with chaos.
And Jey had gotten payback one time. He did the hoodie trick. Right. Where he showed up and cost Jimmy a match or whatever. But, like, you know, that's one response to, like, you know, 10 actions of being provoked. Right. It's just, this is a miss for me, dog.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see where our expectations are a little higher. I know you and I were talking privately, thinking, you know, is this a possibility where Jimmy can break out? And what this match tells me is WWE spun out the right guy. You know, Jey going off and doing single stuff works a lot better, I think, than Jimmy. And, you know, that's not to say Jimmy's bad, but I think you can really tell where the stock is on Jey after this match. I expected a little more, you know, especially with all the bloodline extra. It's hard to say you don't get more out of this. One match I got all I needed and more is a match that played out exactly how it played out in my head. It's Damage Control versus Jade, Naomi, and Bianca.
Mm-hmm.
It is exactly what I thought it was going to be in my head, which makes it a 5-star match, because why would I not want to think about the best outcome possible? But in all seriousness, it's a great showcase for Jade. It shows three different like time periods of WWE women's wrestling. And it puts Damage Control in a really solid spot too, being a featured act, not just with EO, but having all members of the group be represented at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool, man. I've really enjoyed this last year or so of Damage Control. I hope that this isn't an ending for them, as I really like them as a group. The presentation is dope. And you know, speaking of presentation, they gave you all the WrestleMania magic and presentation for our winners. For me, I'm not going to give it a must watch. I wouldn't give it a must skip either. It met the expectations that I had in my head. So, you know, if it's a pass or fail, I'd give it a pass. But since it's a must watch or must skip, you know, I'll just leave it in the middle. And that's where I land on it. I have one more definite must watch for the night, though.
I do too.
Okay. Intercontinental title match?
Yes.
Gunther defending against Sami Zayn.
Yes.
Sami Zayn picking up the big win. This match was, to me, earmarked as the pro wrestling match of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, speaking of WrestleMania, you know, Saturday and Sunday. And it delivered, and it maybe even over-delivered a little bit. The story that they were able to tell, like, with the chops, and the story that they were able to play off of with Sami not wanting to disappoint again following Elimination Chamber last year, excuse me, in Montreal. This was just the goods, man. This was just really good stuff, and it wasn't drawn out. It wasn't overblown. It didn't overstay its welcome. Everything about this I thought was perfect.
I did too. I have this as match of the weekend for WWE, not including NXT, obviously. But even including NXT, it's still best match of the weekend for WWE. Sami is remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely tremendous. He's now responsible in his WWE career. I saw a weird stat. He's dethroned 3 champions in his career who were at the time the longest reigning champions.
Oh, wow.
Cause he did it to the Usos last year. He did it to Gunther this year, and he beat Adrian Neville.
Right.
For the NXT title when he was the longest reigning champion. So, Sami, while being an underdog, if you're a numbers nerd, has some experience going into a matchup with a champion who has been the champion for a historic amount of time. Of course, Adrian Neville's not the longest reigning NXT champion anymore. But it's all at the time of pressing, so to speak. But this match is awesome. It started slow for me and then ramped up until Sami just puts his hooks in you. And once he's got you, you're on the ride.
I mean, let's talk about it, man. Top rope, brain buster, dangerous.
Yes. Like, I think he's done it maybe one other time. I think he did it to Roman.
I think you're right.
I think he did it to Roman at Elimination Chamber. So it's like, it's indicative of my like thought process of like where the WWE is going now. Because I've noticed that it kind of is a subplot of everything talking about like in between the ropes, outside of the ring. WWE was heavily using the phrase professional wrestling and not sports entertainment. Like they would do the playful sports and entertainment, but big emphasis on pro wrestling. And that's this. And it also includes doing allowing people to do stupid stuff like brain busters off the top rope.
Yeah, man, it rocked. Excellent finish. Gave me everything I wanted. So that kind of leaves us with one more to talk about of note. That, of course, is our main event. I'm in a weird spot with this match, and I'm going to go ahead, I think, and give it a must skip. And I didn't expect to do that. And
wow.
I really love Roman and Rock together. I loved it as a live spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
I have not rewatched The Weeknd yet. Maybe you have. But I can't imagine going back and watching this one again. I think it was a live in the moment experience. Given the length of the match, which was, I think, right around 44 minutes.
Yeah.
it wasn't bad. I'm not out here saying it was bad. I'm not out here, you know, there's some people I think that will unfairly mock The Rock or question The Rock. Who are you to question The Rock? Look, The Rock went out there. He still gave a main event style match. He still looked like a physical threat. He still had some athleticism. But yeah, overall, 45 minutes, almost, you know, a whole hour when you count in video packages and entrances. For me, that's just too much of a time commitment to make this a must watch.
See, I was going to say, I don't think this match is must watch or must skip. But because of the sheer magnitude of this match and what it meant to night two, it was something we were going to have to talk about anyways.
Right.
Right. That said, I don't know if it exceeded my expectations, but I don't think it fell short, right? Maybe it ticked up a little bit because I think I got more out of The Rock than I thought I was going to get. The Rock definitely looked a lot better than the last time we had seen him in a WWE ring, not counting the 6-second match with Eric Rowan. Like, this Rock, if this Rock had showed up in New York for Cena at 29, it would have been a completely different story.
Yeah.
We'd had a way different match. But whether you attribute that to being in a tag team setting where he doesn't have to do everything, or just the fact that, you know, The Rock may have taken this a little more seriously than another time, who knows? Or maybe he just took what he learned from his last experience and brought it to this. Even then, I think it's middle of the road. It's neither good nor bad. If it is good at anything, it is good at establishing the remainder of WrestleMania.
Well, let's get to it, man. Yes. Of course, we'll give our night one and night two MVPs, an overall MVP at the end of the show.
That's right.
But let's get into night two, man. Night two. Right, second verse, same as the first.
Yeah.
Once again, live in Philadelphia, running it back. I'm going to go ahead and give a must watch. I think I'm going to give it to the opener, man. And that entails the whole segment.
Yeah.
I thought Drew McIntyre's entrance felt big time. It was WrestleMania. Again, it was a great introduction into what WrestleMania is. Man, that guy is a god. He looks like a million bucks. We get Seth Mummin Rollins, which I really liked. I was like, okay, this finally fits. And the match started hot, man. No feeling out process. No time wasting. They got straight to the value. This match was more physical than I expected it being.
Right.
McIntyre, you know, with the overhead belly to bellies on the outside. Of course, you got your claymores. Not a lot of hands up on those. These guys were ready to have a bomb fest, which I didn't peg this as that match. But these guys were throwing bombs, and you know, there's definitely areas of critiques with, you know, how many claymores it took to take Seth Rollins down, especially when you've already done so much storytelling with the bad leg over the last couple months, and especially WrestleMania Saturday. But McIntyre wins. He gets his moment. And it's all about the moment. But it was cool to see him be able to win the title as being the guy who carried us through the pandemic era, which, you know, no one's really going to want to go back and consume. For him to get the moment where he wins the title in front of people, that was really cool. And then for him to get his as a bad guy, get tripped up by CM Punk on the table, talk too much ish to get hit, and then to have the Damian Priest cash in. The stadium was anticipating it. not because it was lazy, but because it was logical and good.
Mm-hmm. You did make a point that I was going to bring up about the de-weaponizing of the Claymore. I understand it's like your shotgun finish. Whew. I feel like Virgil could kick out of a Claymore at this point. Like, insane. Yeah. That said, because you're including the Money in the Bank cash in stuff afterwards, I can agree. But if you're looking at this match by itself, I don't think it's must watch. I think it's must skip. It is fun that the story that Drew was mentioning, that Seth was going to lose because his attention was split to the Bloodline, is the exact same reason why he lost the title to Damian Priest, because yep. he split his attention to CM Punk.
Yep.
And that is a part of the logic that this WrestleMania had pretty much from start to finish across the board, right? Doing things that made sense, not necessarily because it was good, but like, this is what it should be.
Yeah. And I meant to mention this earlier, like when you were talking about the Raw and SmackDown titles,
right,
both being, you know, defended and separated in the ladder match.
Right.
And we seem to be in a new era, which seemed to be very heavily hammered home in the aftermath of our main event of Night 2. But with being in a new era, maybe more is being asked of us or expected of us as WWE fans, which I'm okay with. There is more moving pieces when you look at the tag match on Night 1, when you look at Seth Rollins' involvement, with Drew McIntyre's involvement. You had guys feuding with each other, but also having these side beefs, and maybe it was the unforeseen circumstances of CM Punk having a long-term injury, The Rock's involvement, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, all of the pieces came together and everything fit. And I know it's a non-traditional build for WrestleMania. We're not used to people having more than one storyline going on or more than one conflict going on. But to me, wrestling's about conflict. And if you can find a way to have more than one conflict going on at one time, I'm all about it, man. So everything came together beautifully for this. Even coming back to McIntyre and Priest, like, not getting along back at War Games, this all fit and everything connected. So I'm on board, man. I'm going to give the whole segment a must watch. I'm with you. I think if you're just looking at the World Heavyweight title match by itself, you can say it's must skip. But being there live, it was awesome. I might be a little jaded there. Do you have a must watch or must skip from Night 2 that you want to talk about next?
I do. And it's a match that I did not catch in the arena. I decided I was going to try to take advantage of some lines. But it's the Philadelphia Street Fight. Mm. Now, to be fair, I did go back and watch this. I have since rewatched Night 2 in its entirety from the Peacock. This match was a shorthanded love letter to Philly Street Fights. I guess the best part about it is it's relatively short.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I don't feel like even with the expectations that this, while the feud has been going on for months, this did not get finalized as a WrestleMania match until 2 weeks before WrestleMania. The build for this did not match what we got as the output.
This one, I felt like the build had definitely ran out of gas by the time we got to WrestleMania. This should have been blown off probably back in February, early March. You know, I'm gonna give it a must skip just off of the involvement of Bully Ray Dudley. Brother Ray, excuse me.
He's so involved in this match.
Of course he is, because he always is. Yeah, it's not for me. It wasn't chaotic enough for me. It was too much like take a move, get out of the way, lay down. And there is a time in a match for that. I didn't think this was it. I thought this should have been a bomb fest. I thought this should have been all six guys all over the building, at least all over the ringside area. And it was too much like you roll in, do your spot. Everybody else is down. Okay, now it's your turn. Not enough chaos for me.
Yeah, like the old Sega Genesis game would say, we needed a bedlam brawl here.
Yeah.
It needed to be more, there needed to be more havoc and more chaos.
Yeah. I'm going to get to a must watch. And I think it's a match that is in contention for a match of the weekend. I think it's the triple threat match. It's for the United States title. It's Logan Paul successfully retaining against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. What these guys were able to do, again, being there live was crazy. Seeing the crowd involvement, there was not crowd involvement like this for any other match. You know, to see Orton kind of go for the RKO and be like, shoot, when he got shrugged off, that was really cool. Again, it's really three pros. Despite his inexperience, despite how new he still is to the business, again, Logan Paul never looks out of place in these matches. He knows his role. He plays it to a T. He is meant to do professional wrestling. He doesn't overthink anything. They don't overthink anything with his booking. That's why he works. And you get him in there with Kevin Owens. And I said to you, while this was going on, I said, how crazy is it that Kevin Steen is fighting Randy Orton at WrestleMania
with Logan Paul? Like, you didn't even know who Logan Paul was until like 3 years ago.
Yeah. It's insane. Almost a fever dream of a triple threat match, but it played out really well. I'm going to end up really high on the match, but I'm definitely going to give it a must watch.
Yeah, I can give it a must watch too. I think this might be the most fun match of the year, of the weekend. The nuances between KO and Randy play extremely well into a man who has the ego of two.
Mm.
And then, of course, whenever the prime bottle is around, you know that something is going to be a must, right? Yeah. Whenever dancing prime, we do have to tell a story about our experience in the crowd for this matchup. So we had a very educated young fan behind us. Not
had
just
to be 10, maybe?
Had to be like very 10, like 10, 12, maybe 12 is like the oldest. But a young boy who is very educated, not just in the happenings of the World Wrestling Entertainment, but also that of the virtual world outside, where, you know, at first when the prime bottle comes out, he thinks it's KSI. I immediately think so too. KSI, the business partner of Logan Paul, for those who aren't hip to the game. So we both thought it was KSI. And then the prime bottle peels its face off, and this kid is just screaming, "It's speed! It's speed! It's speed!" To which every person over the age of 16 looks around and goes, "What is he talking about? What is speed?"
Without this kid, I'd have no idea who was in the prime bottle. And I'm so thankful for our young guide letting us know what's cool and hip in the world of Logan Paul.
That kid just grabbed us by the hand and Sherpa'd us into 2024. It's not too bad, old guys. Let's get you in.
The best line is when Orton has the dude up on the commentary table, and you can tell he's about to go for the RKO, and the kid screams, "No, not Speed! He's got a Twitch career. What about his successful Twitch career?
What about his successful Twitch career? RKO. I lost it. I lost it.
He's still saying, no more Twitch.
I need this kid on commentary right now. Oh, yeah, man.
Speaking of this kid, we really bonded over this match, which I'm going to give a must watch. It was for the women's title. It's Bayley winning the title from Io Sky. Of course, Bayley being the 2024 Women's Royal Rumble winner, getting this match, fighting with her group, which had left her. This was the redemption arc of Bayley, and it played perfect. It was to a T. I loved it. We get to see what this grown up adult woman version of Bayley is as a character. What the role model as a babyface looks like. Still some room to grow there. So I'm looking forward to it. Again, been really high on her work since she's returned from the knee injury. Loved everything she did with Damage Control. And, when Bayley won, I turned around to this kid and we just shared the most genuine high five.
It was magic.
There's the magic of WrestleMania, and it was a really cool moment. So happy to see Miss Pam pick up the big win. And again, not even just about the win, the match I thought was fick. And the way that Io Sky is able to utilize her high flying maneuvers as actual attacks. And not just a cool spot or here's what I can do. When she does those, you know, those top rope maneuvers, those springboards, they're attacks. And they feel like bombs being dropped. They really take something out of the opponent. And, of course, she does them with such precision and such a snap on everything she does. Can't speak high enough on this match, both women involved. And I hope Io, of course, is going to be a leveling off phase with her, but I hope she doesn't level off too bad. I still really like seeing her on pay-per-view. I think she delivers as a performer. So I hope this isn't the last of Damage Control and especially Io Sky on pay-per-view.
I definitely was not as into this match live as I was on the rewatch. I think this match definitely comes across better on television than we got to see live in person at MetLife. I would say this, to me, benefits a great deal of being something you rewatch. Okay. So this is a must-watch match. If, for anything, the sheer rewatchability of it. Like, a lot of the stuff I had to watch again was more for recall sake. There is something that's lost in translation, at least for me as a fan, where I'm not going to remember everything I saw live. I'm too present. I'm not able to consume it the same way as if I'm at home watching it, you know, comfort, but also no heightened endorphins. I don't have anything else that's flooding me. So, this absolutely rocks. Bayley solidifying herself kind of along the lines of what I said earlier with Rhea Ripley. You know, Bayley is, she was referred to as a constant, a pillar, during the press conferences. And she is. She's a foundational piece who hasn't been gone that long via injury, and also is probably most active of all of the horsewomen, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to think now, especially with I would assume an expectation of maybe less Becky Lynch for a bit after her loss to Rhea. You still have Charlotte on the bench. It is Bayley that's running the torch of that particular era of women's wrestling as to where you are now with EO, and you are with, you know, Bianca and Rhea Ripley. That's definitely a subplot for WWE that I want to see in this new era, right?
I'm with you.
How much more are we going to see of the women?
How much more are we going to see of this particular set of the women high up on the card? And I'm really curious come next year's WrestleMania, what the card looks like, not just from like a matchup standpoint, but to see like who is a featured star of the company.
Right.
Because it feels like you start looking up and down this card. Okay, so-and-so has been here for 10 years. So-and-so is, the Usos have been on TV for 14 years. Like, that's a sneaky long time. Roman, you know, has been here since the end of 2012. Same with Seth Rollins. So there's a lot of people up and down the card who have had really long runs, not just existing in the company, but being stars of programming and being used regularly. So I'm curious to see what next year's WrestleMania card looks like. And it could involve this man defending the title. And Mr. Tim, I'll let you take it away for our main event.
I don't want to say that I am a prognosticator of prognosticators.
Mm-hmm.
But here on the North-South Connection, literally days before the locking of horns between the Tribal Chief and the American Nightmare, one of us declaratively said that someone was going from undesirable to undeniable to undisputed, correct? One of us.
That was you.
It was me? Okay, so it was me. This was a thrill ride, especially being in the crowd. I don't know if it feels the same way on TV. When I started watching it, I just transplanted myself back to being there live. This match is main event spectacle. This is WrestleMania. This is rewarding you for knowing the history of things,
mm-hmm.
which is unheard of in a WWE world prior to this era. There was a lot of spoon feeding back in the day, and now you actually have to recall things that they're right. not going to tell you about before.
And to cut in real quick, it was wild to hear, like, you know, in the club level, because you got it like that. but to hear amongst the fans, people connecting the dots of how this wrestler has to do with this wrestler and their history and when these guys fought, and did these guys ever fight? And fans being like, oh yeah, they fought back in the day at this. And again, it's not like that's mind blowing. It's not, it's not even uncommon in sports to be like, oh yeah, you know, the last time that, you know, this team won a Super Bowl or whatever, it was 1970 something like, but for wrestling, because so much of it is about new, mm-hmm. that the fans have been conditioned to almost ignore the past. Ignore what you even saw last week on television. We even saw it still to a degree in the video package for this, where there was a lot of retconning being done of The Rock's involvement.
Right.
And even that was just 2 months ago. Forget what you saw. Forget what you heard. This is how we want you to remember it. But to hear fans in the concourse be able to connect the dots and the history that people have going back 20 plus years, 25 years, that was really cool. And like you said, it was a lot of spoon feeding before, and if they want you to remember something, they will teach it to you and make you remember it. And that's not exactly where we are anymore. And they're not afraid to reference their past and reward you for going back and watching or remembering the past and being there for the journey. So that part's really cool. And I'll let you take it back.
No, you're right. I mean, it's wild to think that some of these matchups are like one of these matchups that gets recalled in this is 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it was 11 years old for me. I felt like that was maybe 4 years. It doesn't seem that long, but time marches on. Speaking of things marching on, for me, this is must watch, but it is the Tribal Chief and the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's a must watch. It's a spectacle. The kickouts are big time.
Anglian.
A lot of last second miracle kickouts. But aside from the match, there was never a doubt that these guys were going to deliver. We all knew there was going to be some run-ins. Everybody was waiting for Jimmy's involvement. It played out exactly how you thought. It did well playing off of past Roman matches with the interference and the beats. But this time there was an answer for everything. And it was kind of the babyface brigade all saying, you know, this is enough, including the legends that showed up, like John Cena, like Mr. Undertaker. It was cool to see. It was well done. I am sad that the reign is over for Roman Reigns. I think lost in the hoopla of Cody winning is how good of a run this was, how special of a run this was. And to point this out, 7 of the 14 matches at WrestleMania were spun out of Roman Reigns or Bloodline matches. And if you include the two main events, now we have 9 out of 14 matches. That is a type of impact that Roman Reigns has had on this card and on this roster. And when I say that he is the tide that raises all ships, that's what I'm talking about. And it's not a knock on Cody. We haven't seen if he can do it. But I don't think we're going to get that type of impact up and down the roster. And that kind of booking that goes back to world title matches or goes back to the storyline like we had with the Bloodline.
It's kind of impossible to ask anybody to give you that, right?
Yeah.
It was borderline impossible for us to ask Roman Reigns to keep up the kind of storytelling pace he was telling in the early days of the Bloodline. Like, even the Bloodline wasn't as good as it used to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was definite reinvigoration leading up to WrestleMania. Thanks, Dwayne. Appreciate you. But this is spectacle, and Roman's reign was special. Heading into this match, I was very torn, because while I am very high on the nightmare narcotic that is being a Cody Rhodes adult, not to be confused with the Cody crybabies, I believe that I am also, I'm very high on the Tribal Chief. I did not sit down during both introductions because after I woed like an animal, I had my finger to the sky. And I acknowledge Roman Reigns and all the greatness that he has. All the kudos in the world to Roman. Right? But this match was, it was the perfect culmination of everything that they had set on the table.
Yeah.
Or let me rephrase, because I'm not being honest. It is a near perfect. There is a small tweak I would make, but again, it is out of my hands, and what was presented to me was great.
Mm-hmm.
But in my head, I had the perfect version, and we didn't get it, and I'm kind of salty about it.
Yeah. Look, I just don't think Steve Austin was going to hop off of his four-wheeler to come to WrestleMania and give out a stunner.
To old Dwayne
for Cody Rhodes to be standing tall. I just don't think that was going to happen. I don't think it was ever realistically in the cards. But doesn't change the fact that I wanted it. But again, surprise Undertaker. If you're going to have Mr. Undertaker, is the best Undertaker. Gong, choke slam, gong, out.
Best.
Perfect amount of usage for Mark from Texas. But yeah, man, match is a must watch. It's a must watch moment. It's a must watch beginning of a new era. Much was to do about this being the first complete WrestleMania under the Triple H banner. Again, last year's WrestleMania, we seemed to have a really good build. And then about 8 weeks out, we saw a lot of stuff from SummerSlam start being undone and redone in Vince McMahon's image. So now we've had close to a complete year of Triple H booking. And I guess we're off to a new era. We'll see what that looks and feels like. But Mr. Tim, do you have a MVP of WrestleMania Night 1?
MVP of WrestleMania Night 1 is going to be Sami Zayn.
Okay. My MVP of WrestleMania Night 1, I'm giving it to The Rock. I really am. The work rate, superstar, yada, yada, yada. The Rock is, when it's all said and done, a top five easily superstar in the history of WWE. Mm-hmm. And you can extend that to pro wrestling as well. There's just nothing like The Rock, and being able to have a Rock performance in the year of 2024 was a true blessing. What about WrestleMania Night 2 MVP for you?
I'm going to cheat. It is the ensemble cast of the main event.
If you're going to cheat, then I am too.
I can't pick one person out of that main event. Everybody was magical. It was so much fun, spectacle, new era, old era mix. Can't go against that. For the entire event, I'm gonna go Roman Reigns.
I am too.
He set the table for this, right?
Again, 9 out of 14 matches at this WrestleMania can all be traced back to Roman Reigns and the Bloodline.
Right.
He's the MVP. Again, a fantastic job as champion. Look forward to whatever is next for our tribal chief. But I guess the next time we'll be doing this could be WrestleMania Backlash.
I don't know if it's WrestleMania Backlash anymore. I think it's just Backlash France.
Backlash Francais.
France. Parlez-vous Francais. So we will be back Saturday, May 4th. May the 4th be with you and also with you for Backlash in France. Early start time for that. But let us know if we got anything wrong, according to you. Whatever your podcatcher of choice is. Leave comments in other videos on the YouTube channel. Just about viewer's choice. And, just really make us find out what you really think of us. If you want to follow us on social media, you can. Not the Toolman for me at the Wrestling Speakeasy for Marcus. If you know, you know. TNM shows where you see this podcast. You also see our other podcast, Final Wrestling Place. But Marcus also can be found here on the regular through WWE War. A fantastic show breaking down the WWE pay-per-view schedule as nerdy as possible. And of course, you can see my handiwork lived out through JT and Aaron on No Holds Barred, humbly as the podcast producer. But we will see you guys back here for Backlash. But while sometimes the enjoyment level is at an all-time high for WrestleMania, whether or not you watch, it all comes down to you. Ain't that right, Marcus?
Remember, the choice is yours.